ordinances that we'll talk about this morning. But now let's talk about the second one a bit, guys. As baptism declares our faith in the Lord's Supper or communion is God's way for His church to continually remind themselves of the sacrifice that Christ made for them to make that salvation possible. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to look at Luke 22 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When we think about communion, when we think about the Lord's Supper and we come to this place, the thing that we really need to focus on, folks, is that this is an act of worship. It is an act of worship. And the Lord told us in His recordings of the Gospels that worship must be true in spirit, led by the Spirit, right? And in truth of the heart. And so as we gather today as the body of Christ to celebrate and memorialize what Christ has done for us, that means we have to be honest. We have to be transparent. We have to be vulnerable about what is really happening in our heart. The Lord's Supper can only be a biblical act of worship when we understand its true meaning. You say, what is the meaning of the Lord's Supper? It is a memorial to our Savior's sacrifice. In Luke chapter 22, the setting is the Passover meal. The Lord has gathered there with His disciples. He is literally just days away, if not hours, away from the cross. And so this moment is coming quickly. In Luke chapter 22, verse 14, the word says, when the hour had come, He reclined at the table and the apostles with Him. And He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He says, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when He had taken some bread and given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And in the same way, He took the cup after He had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in My blood. Once again, communion is that act of worship. It doesn't have the saving grace that sometimes we might imply to it. It's not a sacrament. By participating in this moment, by no means does it mean that God is obligated to grant us grace. But when we understand what this is truly all about, it is symbolic of something so much greater. The reality of it is this. I can remember as a child thinking, hey, I want one of those crackers. You know, I remember every kid, it seemed like when we were growing up, hey, today we're having the crackers and the Welch's grape juice. And I mean, you laugh because you relate to that, right? I remember one time in my former church, someone had set up communion for us that day. We were going to have communion just like today, and I showed up, and one of our elderly men had taken care of everything. Bless his heart, he had everything all set and everything taken care of. And I just happened to, at that day, want to take a little bit of the juice, and I had a goblet that I was going to talk about that. So I poured some out of the container into that cup, and when it did, it just kind of came out in clumps, right? I said, oh, no, what's wrong? And I don't know how old that grape juice was, but it was no longer purple. Let's put it that way. And the first thing that popped in my mind is, what's in those trays? And I went and looked, and sure enough, he had filled all those trays up with grape juice that was no longer grape juice. I'm not sure what it was. And I went running to a convenience store at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, and I ran in, and I was gathering up all these little bitty things of Welch's grape juice. And there was a black lady there that was checking me out and everything. She said, you's having the Lord's Supper today, ain't you? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. But I was in a panic. But the reality of it is this. I can remember as a kid saying, I want some of that grape juice, and I want one of those crackers. But I didn't know anything about what it was symbolic of. I didn't know what it meant. All I knew was everybody in the church was participating in that and taking part of that, and I wasn't. But see, as I began to understand, and I'll just be honest with you, many of us grew up in church feeling that same way because we never really had it explained to us what communion, what Lord's Supper is really about. It's the way for believers, those who have trusted in Christ and given their life to Christ, and those who have professed through baptism, to come and celebrate and memorialize what the Lord has done for us. And so the first thing we need to realize about this act of worship is that it's symbolic. Now let me explain that to you maybe in a way that grabs my heart. These are simply just small pieces of bread and small little cups of grape juice, right? I mean, the same grape juice that is here is the same you can buy at Walmart or anywhere else. It's not about what the element is. It's about what it stands for. Let me put that in a perspective for you. That American flag over there, do you know what that really is? It's just strips of material with thread sewing it together. That's all it is. You say, no, it's not. Wait just a second, preacher. We got people that have died for that flag. That's right. But they didn't die for the materials. They died for what it stood for. And so even though those materials may not be much within themselves, what they stand for is powerful. And so I want to make sure that you understand these elements here. It's not about what the elements are. It's about what they stand for. And that gives them great power, great power. It is an act of worship when we understand that we're celebrating what Christ has done for us. We're taking that place at the Lord's table to recognize his death for our sins, his suffering, his passion for our sin. The Lord's Supper, secondly, can only be a biblical act of worship when we understand the condition of our hearts. If you'll look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, very important that we study this text. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, what's happening here is the church at Corinth, Paul is writing to them. He's heard some reports about what's going on there. The church is gathering. They have a lot of different things that are going on in that church that he addresses in this letter. But one of the things that they have going on is that they were having fellowship times together. They were having fellowship meals and things together. They were coming together. They were having a big time together. And they were throwing the Lord's Supper, just kind of tagging that in there. But the problem was, in the midst of their fellowship, you had some over here that were eating a lot, and you had some over here that didn't have anything. You had some over here that were maybe indulging a little too much in the wine, and some over here that it was just all, they were losing perspective of what it meant to come to the Lord's table. And so he says to them, and beginning in verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 17, he begins to give them some instruction about this moment. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be fractions among you, so that those who are proved may become evident among you. Verse 20. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which you eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. Verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and says, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, the cup, after also supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now that's very important that we understand what we're doing. And he says in verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must first examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not have come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come. What he's really saying there is this. He says, look, you're coming together, you're gathering, you're having a great time and a great fellowship and all those different things, and you're tagging the Lord's Supper onto that, but you're losing the meaning. You're losing the meaning. He says, when the Lord gave us this wonderful declaration, It was for that we would understand and recognize in remembrance of his suffering, in remembrance of his pain, his agony that he endured out of love for us. He says, this is why you come. This is what you're doing. So when we come to worship, we need to understand that our hearts have to be right. Paul says here in this text, he says, before we can come to this table, he says, let a man examine his heart. In other words, what he's really trying to say is this, church. When we come to the table of the Lord, when we take these elements, when we take this bread, when we take this cup, we are saying, Lord Jesus, I realize and recognize that you gave your body, you shed your blood on Calvary's cross for my sin. I'm declaring to the world that I have not only trusted in that gift of salvation through faith in your cross, your death, your burial, and resurrection, but I'm also recognizing that in my heart, you died for my sin. Now you say, well, what does it mean for us to come and participate in an unworthy manner? That's a serious thing. That text says that when we do that, we're basically eating and drinking judgment unto ourselves. In other words, what we're saying is this, Lord, I know what you did on the cross for the forgiveness of my sin, but I'm going to choose to remain in my sin anyway. The Lord's Supper is where Christians, those who have professed their faith in Christ, once they've professed it through baptism to the world, where Christians come and say, Lord, I recognize the price that was paid for the forgiveness of my sin. But if you and I come to this table and we take these elements, recognizing and acknowledging those things to Christ, but yet we say, I'm unwilling to let go of my sin, we're mocking what he's done for us to have forgiveness. That is a serious thing, church. It's a serious thing. They say in the old days of the church that used to be on Saturday nights before the church would come together and have communion together on Sunday morning. On Saturday nights, many times the churches would come together and they would deal with any sin that they had because they dare not come into God's house to come to this act of worship with unconfessed sin on their heart. Now, the amazing thing is this, church, is that you and I know that the Bible teaches us and tells us that any and all sin can be forgiven of us by God, that there are no sins that he cannot and will not forgive, that even as his children, we still struggle, we still suffer, we still go through difficulty, and we fail at times. And what a gracious, loving God, instead of throwing us away when we fail, he picks us up, he washes us off, and we move forward. So we can have that forgiveness. But it is a serious thing when the Church of Jesus Christ comes to this table and recognizes what he's done for us. You got to understand that. If we're just taking bread and taking cup and just saying, well, I did what we did in church today, then we're not honoring his sacrifice. So this is what we're talking about. Next, we know that the Lord's Supper can only be a biblical act of worship when we understand the price that was paid for our forgiveness. See, when I realize what Christ has done for my sin, when I realize that he took my place, I should have rightfully been placed on that cross. I should have been the one that was beaten. I should have been the one that was scourged. I should have been the one that was spit on, rejected, laughed at, mocked at. But he took all of that. See, and he didn't deserve any of that, but I deserve all of it and more. Some of you remember when the movie The Passion of the Christ came out. It's amazing that it's been out for so long. Many of our young folks have never seen it. The imagery that you saw in the video came straight from that movie. But then in the scene where Christ is scourged in that moment, I remember when it came out, I had so many people who came to me and said, Brother Webb, do you really think it was that bad? My response was, I think it was worse than that. You say, how could it have been worse than that? He would have never survived. I really think it was. I have to realize in my heart and my mind that Jesus suffered so greatly. And when I begin to understand what the price was that was paid for me to be forgiven, then I must take my sin serious. Guys, if you're a Christian today, if you profess your faith in Christ to the world, but yet you're taking your sin lightly, you need to examine your heart. We all need to examine our heart. See, it's important because once we realize, when Paul said that to the church at Corinth, when he says, when we do this, and when we eat and drink and eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly, in other words, before I take these elements, if I don't really look at my heart, then I'm judging or I'm bringing condemnation upon myself. And he says, what? For this reason, many of you are weak and sick and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. In other words, if I look at my heart rightly, if I see my heart the way God sees my heart, and that brings me to confession and repentance and brokenness before Him, He says, when that happens, what's going on? I'm being disciplined by the Lord. That's what verse 32 says. When we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord. Why? So that we will not be condemned along with the world. See, the world will face that judgment one day because they don't know Christ. He's paid that price for forgiveness of sin, but they haven't accepted that. They're still lost in that sin. But for those who know Christ, we come to that place and say, you know, even though I'm in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I've got sin in my heart that I need to purge. I need to confess. I need to repent honestly and truthfully. That's what the Scriptures talk about today. So this morning as we celebrate communion, this morning as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's so vitally important that we as the church come to this place of understanding what this moment is really all about. Today is a very special day for Caden. I mean, that man stood up and told everybody in this room that he's trusted in Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his Savior. And that's a big thing. That's a huge thing. It's secondary only to his own relationship that he began with Christ through confessing and trusting in him. But what I wanted to do today was something very special, very special. I wanted to serve Caden his first communion. I wanted to serve him his first Lord's Supper in this very special moment. Caden, come here, buddy. Come here. Stand right here with me. I think he'd just soon be whooped and stand up here in front of all y'all. But Caden, I want you to know something, man. For the rest of your life, you're a believer in Almighty God, in Jesus Christ. You're his child, okay? And nothing in this life will ever change that, all right? But as a believer now, you've professed Jesus as your Lord in baptism, all right? Just like so many other believers have for over 2,000 years, you've joined the body of Christ and identified yourself with Him and with them. But now you get an opportunity, okay, to come to the Lord's table and celebrate and memorialize what He's done for you. So what I want you to do is this, little man. You see this bread? It's just a little cracker. Take one. I want you to eat that, and I want you to realize that it's symbolic of how the Lord's body suffered for you. Go ahead, man. You see these cups? You've seen these all your life, haven't you? All that is Welch's grape juice, buddy, okay? I don't want you to think it's anything different. But what it stands for is His blood that was shed so that you could be forgiven and become a child of God. So will you take that cup? I want you to drink that, okay? Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you, buddy. Father God, thank you so much for my brother in Christ. Thank you so much for his bold faith in you and his proclaiming that today. Lord, I pray that as he grows in his relationship with you, that you would not only bless him, but raise him up to be a mighty warrior for your kingdom. Lord, I ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated, buddy. This morning, church, we want to celebrate through communion. We want to celebrate through the Lord's Supper. But we want to make sure that we do that in a way that honors the Lord, just like Scripture commands us to. So what I want us to do at this point in time is to have a time of prayer. This is a time when you, if you feel led to, you're welcome to come to the altar. You can pray here. You can pray where you are in your pew. You can kneel. This is a time when we're just simply obedient to God. But as a child of God, we need to search our heart so that when we come to these elements, we can take them in a worthy manner. So will you bow your heads with me? Like I said, the altar is open. You're welcome to come here and pray. Cindy's going to play for us as we just spend some time in prayer.